Alaska's gold to the Everglades, from the Rio Grande to Maine, my heart cries out, my pulse runs fast, the might of her domain. You ask me why I love her? I've a million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky.
The Duke on the Road Show. It's the way we start out the 7 o'clock hour each and every morning right here on Big G's Texas Road Show on AM 1230 KERV, Kerrville's original radio station. Time is 7:10, waiting for Hank 3 to give us a call in this morning. And let's see who this is right here. KERV, good morning. You're on the air.
I'm calling for Big G.
Hank 3,
yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Oh, hanging in there, man.
Man, it's been a while since we've talked. How's the world treating you?
Doing good. You know, always shut down in the wintertime and get ready to do it all over again here soon.
Yeah, so you're going to be hitting the road, huh?
Yeah, we had a couple of good runs, you know, while we were on tour promoting both the records.
And
right. Now we're getting ready. Here soon we'll be going to all the places that we didn't get to hit, doing the East Coast run and going down to New Orleans and Florida. And then we'll see what happens after that.
All right. So the last couple of times that you and I have talked, you've mentioned that you have been knee-deep in a project. Is that over now?
No. It's not something really that I want to talk about too much.
Okay.
Because it doesn't really, you know, I'm 40 days into it, and I probably got 40 more days to go until
okay.
it's done. I'll
right.
say that much.
Okay.
But it's
right.
One of those things that who knows when it'll come out. And, you know, it's going to take me another year to 2 years to break even on the two records that I put out. So
right.
that's where my focus is primarily on. You know,
right.
I can't get hung up on talking about something that's not even close to coming out yet.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about the ones that are out, A Fiendish Threat and Brothers of the 4x4. I'm sitting here looking at the CD here, Brothers of the 4x4. There is a big Ford van slinging mud, kind of cantilevered over at an angle, showing some flex. Is this you? Is this yours?
Yeah, that's back when we, you know, did the video for long hauls and close calls.
Right.
We just invited everybody to come out to a field and camp out overnight. So that's when I was doing my best to make it through. You know, it wasn't quite ready for a mud run after a bunch of trucks with 44-inch tires and 502 engines and made it through. But I gave it a shot and did the best that I could. And that van is, I've never had a vehicle bring so many smiles or start so many conversations with people around town or out of state. You know, I've done a few tours out of it.
Right.
And so it's, I think it's finally, after years of trying, I'm finally getting in a four-wheel drive magazine. So that was a big honor for me, because that's kind of a hard circuit to get into. So they came out and did a piece on it, and that might be hitting hopefully in the next 2 to 6 months.
Oh, very good, very good. So Brothers of the 4x4, the record. A double record, 16 cuts. How do you, when you sit down and you're going to do a project, how do you How do you figure out what is going to go? I mean, you sit down. Okay, here you got 16 cuts, double record here. How many,
right.
when you went into the studio, how many songs did you play with before you narrowed it down to these 16? Or were these 16 the ones that you went in and said, these are what we're doing?
It starts at zero, and with any project, I just start creating and start working around it and piecing it together and building it. So, no matter what project I'm on, I get so into it or so obsessed with it that it just keeps flowing and flowing and flowing, and I don't stop until it's done. And, you know, the reality of that record and the Fiendish Threat, those were two records that started from scratch that I pulled out and did the whole project, mixed it, mastered it, engineered it, all within 4 months. And that's, you know, that's pretty quick. It's almost too quick, you know, because there's a lot of... as much as I put into it is as much damage that kind of happens to me, and you got to rebounce back from it
sure.
as well.
Sure.
You know, Marty Stewart, he's the first one to say, man, that's awfully quick, Shelton. You know, most of the time it takes people a whole year to make a record.
Absolutely.
So, but that's just how into it I get from
right.
the second that I get up. I you know, run the dogs, feed them, shove some food down my throat, and I walk in and I start either doing drums or guitar or vocal, and I do that every day until I get to the editing or the mixing point, and I don't stop until it's done. So the writing process came pretty naturally. It wasn't like I had to pull the songs very hard. The songs just kind of flowed naturally. So I didn't have too much of a problem with the lyrical content or the music. You know, it's always good seeing some of the musicians that I don't get to see that much, like Johnny Hyland doing the chicken picking on the guitar.
Right.
Billy Contreras is a fiddle player I don't see very often. And, you know, then I try to use my band always as much as I can.
Sure.
So they all stepped up to the plate, and we did it all over again. So it's, you know, each one of my country records will always have something a little different to it. So, I think that one covers a lot of just different moods. You got your slow songs, your mid-tempo songs, a couple of different strange songs, and, you know, but all in all, I try to keep the root of the country feel.
Right.
You know, in it. Especially
right.
with songs like Loners for Life,
sure.
Deep Scars.
Right.
Those two, compared to most of the pop country nowadays, has the feel of what I would consider more of the classic country sound.
Right. Right. I'll tell you what has become a quick crowd favorite around here is Looky Yonder Coming.
Okay. The little bit of a little more of the bluegrass kind of drive on that song.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes back to the inspiration from Jimmy Martin and the family I was raised around out of Jane, Missouri. You know, my grandfather raised a Walker coonhounds and jumping mules as a hobby when he wasn't farming. So I got to experience a lot of the coon hunting and the running of the dogs and listening to them change their tone when they get on a trail
right.
and all that good stuff. So that's you know, that's just one of those just coon hunting favorite kind of old school kind of songs, but it has the boogie woogie breakdown towards the end of it.
Right.
And
right.
But it's definitely got the bluegrass drive all through it.
Yeah, your command, your grasp of all the different styles of the sound. I've always appreciated the fact that you could reach in one song and grab them by the heart and jerk on it, and then the next song you can slap them on the back and buy them a beer.
No doubt. Well, and speaking of sound, you know, I say this to everybody. I don't have the worst sound and I don't have the best sound, but it's kind of my own sound, you know, the way that I record and the way that I do things is a little different than most engineers. So that in itself, I think, sets the records apart just a little more than what most people are used to hearing. And it's always a challenge. You have to keep in mind, the way I record, I only have 16 tracks.
Right.
So that in itself, where most people have 52 tracks or 128 tracks, you know, that's kind of keeping it old school.
Sure.
There was, out of 16 songs, there was only about 15, maybe 20 minutes of editing. Just a couple of out-of-tune notes, but most of the players did an amazing job on stepping up to the plate and doing it all basically in one pass.
Wow.
So that's, you know, it didn't happen in one take. You know,
right.
Sometimes you have to do 5 or sometimes you got to do 50.
Right.
It just depends on the player, but you know, some guys will come and stay with me a couple of days and we'll knock it out. Or, you know, some of the super pickers, if they just do 3 or 4 passes at it and you take what you, you know, whichever one you like the best.
Right, okay. So, that's Brothers of the 4x4. The other album that you released, A Fiendish Threat. Now, when you, and this has become your trademark recently, to release something for, because your shows are split up, or at least I know the last one I went to, the shows that I have been to have always been split up. You've got your country gig, and then you've got your rock and roll gig.
That's the way I've done it over the years to make the audience feel like they're not getting ripped off,
right?
You know, or not getting disrespected. A lot of, you know, I know the reality that a lot of people are just coming to see the country part of the show, and they don't necessarily want to see the rock part of the show. That's how it is. So, you know, some nights everybody sticks around and watches all of it, and some nights they don't. And the last tour, I was doing 4-hour shows every night. So, in general, it's a long show. It's a lot of different styles of music. No matter what, you always usually get an hour and a half to 2 hours of the country before I get off into the hillbilly sound or the doom rock sound or the speed metal stuff.
Right.
Or the punk rock stuff. It just kind of depends.
Right.
So, but, you know, that's how it is for now. Sometimes when I have to go and play festivals in Europe and you only have 45 minutes on stage, that makes it a little more complicated. I have to squeeze in 3 country songs and then try to squeeze in at least a couple of rock ones so they know I'm not just, you know, riding on the coattails of Hank Williams. I've been standing on my own 2 feet for a long time.
That's right.
You know, doing my thing. And not everybody gets it. Not everybody's supposed to. But as one of the old timers would say, you know, I think you've stood your ground so long that people have accepted what you do. You know, for better or for worse, they know that you're staying true to what your vision was.
Right, absolutely. And you have. And I think that it's, I personally, and for folks just tuning in, we're talking with Hank Williams III, Shelton Hank Williams III, Hank III, as he is more popularly known in the music world. I think what you have done is in regards to playing to your audience has always been appreciated. I know that I have, you know, when I mentioned to folks Hank III, without fail, everybody that I get in a conversation with about your music not only listens to the country stuff, but they listen to the hillbilly stuff as well. And it's, you know, I know that I'm trying to think the last time that you put out the last record you put out, when you called me, you said, do you want just the country? I said, no, I want it all. Send me everything, because, you know, this stuff is historical, and it's you know, it's whether, you know, folks like one more than the other, because I've got friends that like the hillbilly stuff more than the country stuff.
No, I hear you. That's part of me just always showing my respect to people in the music industry. It's just a natural reaction for me,
sure,
to ask that question.
Right.
You know, just even back when I would go on the Grand Ole Opry, even with all the bad reputation that I was having on cussing or having rowdy shows and all that, every time I take the stage, it's always 100% professional.
Sure.
I know when to keep it a family show, and I know when it's one of the good old barroom shows. So that's something I've always stuck to as well. You know, I've never gone out there just to cause trouble for no reason, you know, because that's just, that's not how I do business.
Sure.
It's not how I ever will do business.
Right. The, so, as you embark on this tour, when are you looking? Probably March, heading out? When is that going to start taking place?
Well, it's kind of hard to say right now. You know, I have to go back through the positions of, hold on, I got to move my dog. There's a deer in the front yard. If they see that, they're going to go crazy. If I can get this project wrapped up in the next 40 days, that will have a lot to do with it. But I know for sure, 100% for sure, I'll be on the road in May.
Okay.
I know a couple of my guys that I usually use most of the time in April. I think that they have some other gigs that they have to do.
Right.
So I'm probably going to be hopefully playing around town a little bit, getting the crew back together, and then in May I'll be touring the rest of the year for sure.
Okay.
So,
oh man, great.
It's kind of up in the air, really hard to say.
Are you do you ever admit to the term workaholic?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've always had a problem with it. I don't know how to take a vacation. I don't know how to ease up. In time, you know, I'll get there. But for right now, at where I'm at for life, it's just not time for me to slow it down. And, you know, I have felt burnout before from overdoing it, taking too much on. But that's, if you look at my career, that's how I've always done it. Even back in the early 90s,
right,
when I was on the road, certain tour managers and sound guys would say, man, you play too long. I'm like, well, I can always just play 1 hour. And the day that that happens, if I physically can only just play 1 hour, that's how it'll be. But for right now, you know, I've carved the niche of the Jekyll and Hyde show and giving people the most bang for their buck. 4 hours worth of music, usually for $15 to $22. I started running a bus and a crew probably in 95, and the ticket prices were $7 back then. And in today's economy, I'm always keeping the fans in mind, you know, trying to let them afford a ticket.
Sure.
And I most of my tickets will never be above, the max would be $25. So
well, and
I
you
always,
know,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Hein. Sorry.
I always keep it in mind so they can come out, see the show, buy a beer. If they want to buy a T-shirt, that's great, and to have enough money left over at the end of the night. And you know, I don't charge people to meet me or get an autograph from me. As long as I've been in the music business, right after the show I get down there and I'll shake every hand and sign every autograph until the last person is gone. And I've done that my whole career. And I think that is one of the reasons, aside from the family history, of having such a loyal fan base and making people feel connected to what I do.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was going to say, you know, you're talking about $7 tickets in 1995. Well, the cost of diesel in 1995 was probably about $1.20 a gallon. You know, and that's tripled now. So, you know, so
I know it's kind of strange. The cheapest fuel to be made is the most expensive. So that it's
well,
tough
yeah,
on all those diesel
absolutely
owners out there. And it's harder on the, you know, at least the farmers get a break. But I can remember back in the day when the diesels were definitely the cheapest thing to drive on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, has that changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the first one I bought, I want to say that I was paying about 60 cents a gallon for it.
All right.
Yeah, that was like back in 1984, I think. I bought the first diesel pickup I bought. And I filled up yesterday, and it was $3.65. So.
Well, that's why I say when I'm talking about the brothers of the 4x4 is a dying breed. You know, where I come from, jacked up trucks is a normal thing.
Sure.
It's not like people are just doing that to do it, but most of the kids in the county that I come from, instead of having a hot rodded Mustang or a low rider, most of the kids in Franklin, Tennessee are from farms.
Sure.
And, you know, they do everything that they can to get a 2 to 4 inch body lift on their truck and at least get some 33s to
sure
38 inch tires on it.
Right.
And for their look. So
right,
with all the emissions, like in California and everything, it's definitely getting harder and harder for the people that like to drive the big trucks.
Sure.
And but hopefully they'll keep on hanging in there. It's just one of those things.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's kind of the way it is out here. Your city kids drive the cars with the fart can mufflers, and the country boys all got them a jacked up 4x4. So it's I guess there's some similarities here as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of them in Texas. I see a lot of nice rides, a lot of nice builds.
So are you going to, and I don't know, maybe too soon to ask, but are you planning on this tour for 2014? Are you planning on swinging back through the Lone Star State at all?
Well, I made it through Texas two times on my last two tours.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to say. Maybe towards the end of 2014 I might be able to.
Okay.
I have been keeping it in mind. It's maybe been close to 4 or 5 years since I've played up in Canada. So after I do the East Coast and Florida and all that, it's getting close to time for me to go up in there and do a tour. Okay. But we'll definitely see. You know, there's Texas has always been a great foundation for us, even from back when I was just starting out.
Right.
There's always been just a great fan base there.
Well,
a lot of energy.
Yeah, Texas loves you, Hank. There ain't no doubt. So, well, doggone, man, I can't tell you, you know, how much I appreciate you hooking me up with the music. And, of course, you know, as always, you are a staple in the playlist here at the Roadshow. And always have been, always will be. And I appreciate what you do for music, and I appreciate your take on things, the way you your work ethic, the way you treat your fans, the way you treat your public. I want you to know that means a lot to a lot of folks, and I want you to know that I appreciate it.
Well, good deal, man. We'll be, you know, I'll be in there doing it till I can't do it no more. Yesterday, Marty Stewart called me and invited me to show up on his show on RFD. So this time around, I get to do a couple of my own songs. So that's going to be a big deal for me. I'm trying to get a couple of guys in town to see who I can get to go on his show.
Oh, so, man, that's going to be wonderful.
That's going to be coming up soon. And, you know, on the new record, I wrote that one song, Possum in a Tree, for Leroy Troy. He's a Ballhammer band.
Sure, yeah, Leroy Troy, absolutely.
So I wouldn't be surprised if me and Leroy have to knock that one out.
Oh.
We'll see. So, but that's going to be fun for us. You know, it's not like I get that many opportunities to go on really that much TV. I haven't done much of it in the past. So that's going to be January 21st. We'll be on it. I don't know when it will air, but that's something that people might be looking forward to. And
you know, I've still got the episode recorded from when you were on before.
Yeah, that was definitely, you know, a highlight. And Marty stayed true to his word. He was saying, well, if you come on and do, you know, one of your granddad's songs, I'll promise that we'll get you on here and let you do your thing.
Absolutely.
You know, 'cause that's always important to me as well. So, but it was an honor to be able to wear one of his suits.
I
had Andy Griffith's boots on.
Nice.
That's what Marty had in his stash back there. And, you know, it was just more of a natural thing.
That's great.
What that song made it on one of his records. And we'll see what happens.
Picture from Life's Other Side.
Yep, that's the one I think that he put on his record.
Yeah, Nashville Volume 1, I think, was the record. And, that is a standard in the playlist here. Hank 3, man, I can't tell you how much I enjoy talking to you every time I do. And I appreciate, I want you to know that I appreciate the kindness that you have shown me through the years. Thank you very much.
You got it, man. If anybody's interested in buying vinyl or getting any of the merch, it's always Hank3.com. You know, there's still a few vinyls left of the song that me and David Allan Coe did together called The Outlaw Ways.
Okay.
So there's only 500 of those were printed.
Okay.
And that's that 500 for me and 500 for him. And that's all that there will be. So that's something for the collectors out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hank3.com. They can get they can buy t-shirts there. They can buy CDs. Everything that's still in print, they can buy there as well, right?
Yes, that's pretty much the place to go to get what I do and the thing that me and David did.
Okay. Shelton Hank Williams III, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. You can go out and run the dogs now.
Well, Well, I got four. You know, I live 10 minutes from downtown Nashville, and I rent 40 acres, and I got five does standing out front. So if I let them out right now, they'd be having a field day. So I do everything that I can trying to bring some wildlife in here, you
sure.
know. So I get, you know, you would be surprised on some of the trophy gobblers I have walking around, and finally, just in the last 2 years, I've seen a couple of bucks on the property. So that's not too bad for being only 10 minutes from downtown. So
time to go fill the freezer.
Well, I wish I could. My rule here, I'll only kill something when I'm on someone else's land. So I like to have them walking around, you know, for right now, man.
Absolutely.
So I got the corn on the ground, and I got a school across the street, so they probably wouldn't be too into me blasting away over here.
Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good philosophy to live by. Shoot them off other people's property. That's good stuff.
No doubt, man. It's always worked for me.
All right. Hank 3, man. Appreciate it, brother. Oh. We'll be talking to you again.
All right.
Thanks,
Thank
buddy.
You.
Bye-bye. 7:39 here on Big G's Texas Roadshow. That is Hank Williams III.